John 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Before we listen to God's message, let us come before Him, worship Him by means of prayer. Let us join our minds and hearts together. Our Father in heaven, how good it is to come into your house this morning to offer up to you the best of the week. Lord, we know that even our best is not the best. And yet, because of you, our Father receives us, accepts us, and blesses us. And we give thanks to you for that. Oh Lord, help us understand our relationship with you, how you have died for us, been resurrected for us, and ascended into heaven, and now is sitting at the right hand of God, our Father. Oh Lord, help us understand all this and how you want us to represent you here on earth, so that when people see our good deeds, they will praise our Father in heaven. Oh Lord, it is by no means easy, and yet we know that we don't do it on our own, because you are going to, and you always enable us to fulfill this, so that your plan for our lives will be realized. So Lord, we commit each one of us to you. We ask you to really show us in our own situations what you want us to do, how you want us to live our lives, so that our life is always full of love, grace, mercy, kindness, and everything that the Spirit will help us bear, so that we can really truly represent you here on earth. We can truly be your ambassadors. And Lord, we lift up not only each of us, but the entire church to you. We pray that you will use the church to continue to spread the gospel of the kingdom, to help people really come to know the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this partnership, and help us all to really cherish it, to count it a privilege, to serve you and to reach out in your name. Lord, we trust that as we are faithful to this great commission, you will help us to fulfill it. And also we commit other ministries to you, caring, visiting, teaching, and preaching, and everything. Lord, we just pray that this church will grow because you bless it. This church will continue to manifest you, will magnify your name because you are here with us. And as we open up your word now to John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, we pray that your Spirit will guide us into your truth, open our eyes, give us humility, and give us attentive heart, so that your message will be harbored in our heart and will guide us throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our brothers and sisters, the season of traveling is around the corner. I'm not sure if you have got any traveling plan yet, but allow me to take you to this place in Alberta, in the National Park of Jasper, Jasper National Park, to a place called St. Walter Falls. The height of this fall is about 60 feet, and the width is about 30 feet. And this place was, you know, the place where I visited when I was a student in Edmonton. And so I ask you to enjoy, all right? But not this one. The other one. Good. Play it, please. Could you turn up the sound, please? Louder. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to that spot. All right, I think that's enough. And Helena, could you show the first one, the one you showed just now? Voila, c'est moi. This is me. All right. So I went there when I was a student at the University of Alberta. And that summer, we visited Jasper National Park, and it was wonderful. And now that you may laugh about it, and at that time I was having fun, but when I look back now, I really feel that I was young and foolish. And, you know, how dare I sit next to the fall? Just one wrong move, I could be brought down the falls with that rushing, gushing water, right? The water is running rapidly, and the sound is thundering. It's just like thousands of horses running on the plain. Now, if you can imagine that, that is the picture John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39 presents to us this morning. In these verses, it says it's the last day of the feast, and Jesus stood up amongst the crowd, proclaiming this: if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. As we look at these two verses, we don't really find any specific connection in the context. In order to understand Jesus' proclamation, we need to understand what verse 37 meant when it says the day of the feast, or the last day of the feast. Now, what feast was that? Well, it was the feast of the tabernacle, or the feast of the booths. Now, according to our calendar today, it would normally fall in the middle of October. In the Old Testament times, it would last 7 days. In the New Testament times, it would last 8 days. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacle is the feast by which the Jews remember how God led their ancestors through the wilderness in 40 years. Now, that was the time when, you know, their ancestors wandered in the wilderness. When they observed this feast, the Jews would build houses, tents, not houses. They would build tents with branches and leaves in the streets of Jerusalem and even in the temple area. They would stay there for the duration of the feast, and they did that in order to really experience how God led their ancestors, how their ancestors experienced those days in the wilderness. And at the same time, they wanted to give thanks to God for his wonderful, amazing provisions throughout that wandering. For example, in the wilderness, the Israelites ran out of water. Everybody was thirsty. And twice, Moses used the staff to hit the rock, and out from the rock gushed the water to quench the thirst of the people. And so the Jews in Jesus' day also remember this. They remember this particular event. Every day, the priests of the temple would lead a procession, would lead a parade to the middle of the city, where there was a pool called Siloam. That pool had a fountain, and that fountain flowed living water. Now, as the procession marched towards the fountain, they would sing out this verse in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. They would sing along the way, they would sing like this: "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." They would keep singing it until they finished that procession. And when they arrived there, the priest would hold a golden pitcher, all right, just like a jug, and he would collect some water from the fountain, and then lead the procession back to the temple. And when they got back to the temple, the priest would pour the water onto the altar as a means of offering to God, giving thanks to God for how he had provided for their ancestors, how he had solved or quenched their thirst. Now, they did that for 7 days consecutively. But on the eighth day, on the very last day, the most important day, there were two exceptions. First, when the procession returned to the temple, the priest would walk around, would circle around the altar 7 times, symbolizing Joshua's victory at the city of Jericho. And also, the priest would hoist the golden pitcher, just like the previous 7 days. But this time, there was no water in the pitcher. And that symbolized that the Israelites, the rebellious generation, died in the wilderness. Now, at that very moment, everybody stood in silence. They would no longer scream or shout with joy. They would just stand there. And Jesus Christ was present too. He was carefully observing everybody. He noticed that people were just going through the motions to celebrate the feast. The feast did not really give any meaning to their lives. At the beginning of the feast, they might have come with hope, with expectation, with dreams, but at the end of the feast, they were just like that golden pitcher, empty. They were still bewildered, they were still empty, and they were still feel lost. They were not fulfilled, they were not satisfied. You know, just as everybody was standing in silence, Jesus Christ rose from the crowd and proclaimed to the crowd, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Now, the scripture that Jesus Christ mentioned in his proclamation was probably Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. And there God says, "For I will pour water on thirsty land and streams of the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offering and my blessing on your descendants." Now, Jesus Christ made that proclamation to tell the crowd that he was the Messiah, because only the anointed one of God could give living water to people, could help people quench their thirst. Now, today, many people are still thirsty. Let us take a look at Stephen. Now, Stephen is middle-aged. He is facing a mid-age crisis. He's been working for a number of years, and yet, he is never fulfilled. There's no breakthrough in his career. And when he looks at his parents, he really senses that time is passing very quickly. You know, there have been many things that Stephen wanted to do in his life, but he never got a chance to do them. And every time the opportunity came around, He just slipped through. He never managed to grab hold of that opportunity. Stephen is thirsty. He is thirsty for meaning. He is thirsty for a purpose. He is thirsty for fulfillment. Let's take a look at Henrietta. Everybody says Henrietta is a model teenager. She is active, dynamic. Her studies at school is good, except for a few or a couple of being late. She has no problem at school. But now, high school is going to end, and she is going to face the real reality of life. Going to college, finding a career, getting married, setting up a family, and all these. All these things really scare her. Henrietta is thirsty for acceptance. She's looking for guidance. She is thirsty for hope, for peace. And that is still Mrs. Smith. Her children are all grown ups now. From time to time, she would have a chance to see her grandchildren. But since her grandchildren started schooling, the chance for her to see them is getting fewer and far between. One day, Mrs. Smith was shopping in a supermarket, and suddenly a little kid came up to her and grabbed her leg, thinking that she was his grandmother. But of course, the kid got the wrong person. And that was the very first time in a month that Mrs. Smith was hugged by somebody. But unfortunately, it was a wrong person. And Mrs. Smith is thirsty for love, for spending time with family, for joy, and for that kind of hope. And still, there's one more. Let us look at John. John has made many mistakes in his life. He has hurt people, and he has alienated many people. And many a time, he's just wandering through life without any purpose. He's lonely. He's empty. He doesn't really know what to do with his life. John is thirsty for forgiveness. He's thirsty for peace, for friendship, for salvation. Are you thirsty this morning? Thirsty indicates unfulfillment. Thirsty expresses desperation. Thirsty can kill someone faster than hunger. We can go through weeks without food, but we cannot live without water for just a few days. Are you thirsty this morning? Are you hungering for God? Somebody once said, God can meet our desires according to how much we desire Him. The more we desire God, the more God can fulfill us. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God, and God will come near to you. And let us be encouraged by Psalm 42, where the psalmist says, O Lord, or as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Today, Jesus is still carefully watching each of us. He's still seeing people's bewilderment, loneliness, emptiness, being lost, and scare. Now, Jesus Christ knows that we are thirsty for love, for forgiveness, for peace, for joy, for acceptance. And so he proclaims to us this morning, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Without water, we cannot live. And in a similar manner, without Jesus Christ, we cannot live eternally. Only Christ can satisfy our thirst. And that's what he said to the woman by the well. He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, John said in chapter 7, verse 39, the streams of water refers to the Holy Spirit. And here he says in chapter 4, verse 13, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. These two correspond to each other. What Jesus Christ is saying is, come to me, accept me, and I will give you new life through the Holy Spirit. A life that you've been desiring and yet haven't got. A life only I can give. As we go on to the second half of 39, verse 39, that is that part which is a bit difficult to understand. John says, up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, 2 weeks ago, I attended a preaching seminar. The speaker, Dr. David Powell, said, Jesus had been glorified. What does it mean? It means in the Gospel of John that Jesus was crucified. It refers to Jesus' crucifixion. And David Powell uses the reference in chapter 12, verse 22 to 24, to substantiate his point. There Jesus Christ says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You can also find a similar reference in chapter 13, verse 31. Obviously, in chapter 12, Jesus Christ was talking about his upcoming death. And so, here in chapter 7, verse 39, when John said Jesus had not been glorified, he is referring to the time of the Feast of the Tabernacle. At that time, Jesus was still alive. He wasn't crucified yet. And what about that? The Holy Spirit had not been given. What does it mean? Well, let me give you this illustration about hydroelectricity. Before the scientists invented hydroelectricity, the rivers, the falls have been flowing for thousands of years. It just human beings did not have the knowledge, did not have the skill to harness the power in the water. In fact, the Holy Spirit has been around all along. He and the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, are three in one. They are the triune God, God of the Trinity. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, verse 2 says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And also in Job chapter 33, verse 4, it says, the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. You know, John was not saying the Holy Spirit did not exist. He was just saying, it's only after Jesus Christ have been glorified. That is, only after Jesus Christ had been crucified, then human beings be able to really fully experience the Holy Spirit. In other words, if Jesus Christ had not been crucified, if he had not been resurrected, and if he had not ascended to heaven, there would not have been the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The banner you see pinned on the pulpit, this red banner is to celebrate, to commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is red because it is to commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit in the form of tongues of fire falling on people's heads. And we praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come. He can satisfy our thirst. He can help us to believe and receive Jesus Christ. He is like streams of living water flowing out from within people. People who believe in him has that water. And that water flowing, positively influencing, impacting people all around. And you remember what Jesus Christ said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In other words, without the Holy Spirit, we would have no power to be God's witnesses. We would have no power to lead people to Christ, because it's only the Holy Spirit who can convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Only the Holy Spirit can do it, and he is pleased to do it through us. Now, every time Eva and I return to Hong Kong to visit my mom, we take that opportunity to share the good news, to witness for Christ to our relatives, to our family members. They may not accept Christ right away, and yet we believe that the Holy Spirit, according to his time, will cause that seed of the gospel to sprout and grow. 3 months ago, we went back to Hong Kong to visit my mom again, and Eva took hold of that opportunity to share the gospel with her sister-in-law once again. And the result was, she still did not want to accept Jesus. About 3 weeks ago, we got this phone call from Hong Kong telling us that the sister-in-law had been diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, naturally, when we heard the news, our hearts sank. We were worried. But because we were so far away, there's nothing we could do except praying for her, lifting her up to God, asking God to heal her. At the same time, Eva called the sister-in-law, showing our sympathy and giving her comfort. And at the same time, took hold of that opportunity yet again to share the gospel. Praise the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. Over the phone call, the sister-in-law confessed her sin and repented of her sin and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. This past Wednesday, she underwent the surgery to remove the breast. We praise God that the surgery went very smoothly, and 2 days ago, Friday, she's already home, resting. Eva called her once again and to strengthen her, to encourage her, and to ask her about her faith in Christ. She said, "Yes, I have believed in Christ, and I have accepted him as my Savior, and I have even told my family members." Praise the Lord. For many years, she was not a Christian. And yet, the Holy Spirit works according to his time. And we really give thanks to God for that. And so I ask you to remember the sister-in-law in your personal prayer, whenever you remember, pray for her faith in God and pray for her recovery. The Holy Spirit is like streams of living water. It does not just refer to the supernatural power. It also points to God's love, God's mercy, God's tenderness, God's kindness, God's gentleness. We can express all this through our lips, through our hands, and through our feet, through our action in life. All this can flow out of us when we have Jesus Christ. And so, as you are looking at me, I want you to imagine that your heart is just like a big red club. Now, this one is not red, but just imagine this, all right? Your heart is like a big red cup filled with God's mercy, love, kindness, gentleness, all these things that I just mentioned. And now, use your hand. Gently tilt it. Tilt it some more. And all this will flow out of your heart. And it will keep flowing. And it will never end. Why? Because when you have the Holy Spirit in you, all these will flow endlessly. Not because you can, but because you have the Holy Spirit. So in a similar way, Jesus Christ says, when you have the Spirit living in you, your heart will be filled with streams of living water. And God's mercy, kindness, love, all the goodness will flow out of you. And you will become a positive impact, a positive influence on people around you. Now, speaking of the Holy Spirit being streams of living water, I remember Mother Teresa. She spent her whole life in Calcutta, India, serving the lowly, the poor, the neglected, the lepers, and people with all kinds of diseases. I also remember Jackie Pullinger. She serves God faithfully amongst drug addicts, helping them to kick the habit, helping them to come to the saving knowledge of Christ, helping them to rebuild their lives with hope, with meaning. And Mother Teresa, Jackie Pullinger, and many people like her, I like them. How come they could have this endless love, kindness, etc., etc.? Where does all this come from? Isn't it from the Holy Spirit, streams of the living water? And we praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, streams of living water, flows through many of our brothers and sisters in this church too. Their loving kindness, their caring, they help many brothers and sisters who have needs of all kinds, emotional, physical, financial, family, whatever kind. We thank God that there are many brothers and sisters who really have that streams of living water flowing through them. And they also lead seekers of the truth to Jesus Christ, so that they also could have this wellspring up from their heart to eternal life. Now God knows who these people are. God knows who you are. And God remembers your labor of love. And He tells you today, your labor of love is not in vain in the Lord. And so on behalf of the pastoral staff, and also the deacon board, I want to give thanks to you. I want to thank you for what you have been doing. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many years, and still your spiritual life is dry, is without power, is you're not dynamic. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is proclaiming to you this morning, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Just now, I took you to a very short tour to St. Walter Falls in Jasper National Park. And now I take you on another tour to a grander, well-known fall in the world, the Niagara Falls. And so please enjoy. Helena? Pastor Andy and Brittany just been to the falls not too long ago, right? Oh, you never? Oh, next time. It's spectacular, it's grand, it's magnificent. Just out of curiosity, who has been to the Niagara Falls before? Did you enjoy it? Yeah, especially at night, right? When you see the lights are shining on the fall. Thank you. Yeah. Keep it there on the screen. You can pause it. You know, a Canadian took his British friend to, you know, see the falls. After a short while, the Canadian pointed to the rushing water, to the thundering sound, and he said to his British friend, "Look, here is the most unused power in the world." And then his British friend shook his head and disagreed. No. And the most unused power in the world is the Spirit of the Living God, the Holy Spirit. You know, brothers and sisters, we don't need to live a dry, a meaningless, and an exciting, you know, powerless Christian life. Let us be reminded once again that within us there is the Holy Spirit, streams of living water. We can always come to Him, drink from Him, use His power endlessly. And we can use it to live an abundant life, as Jesus Christ has promised. And as a consequence, we can become a blessing to people around us, and ultimately glorifying God. Now, Jesus Christ has a very detailed teaching on the Holy Spirit in chapters 14 to 16 in the Gospel of John. So I encourage you to go home and read up on those three chapters. A bit long, but not too long. And I'm sure you will learn a lot about the third person of God who lives in you. Now, this morning, Jesus Christ is proclaiming to you, once again, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. Are you willing to come now that you have heard the invitation, Jesus' proclamation? Jesus is carefully watching you. He wants you to live the abundant life that He has promised. So are you willing to come? Let us pray. Before I lead you in prayer, why don't you talk to God? Who is your Father? You may be struggling with schoolwork, with work in the office. You may be having trouble in your interpersonal relationship. You may be struggling, being burdened by many other things. God is waiting for you to come, to unload all this at His feet. He is saying to you, I have already given you streams of living water. Drink from me. So why don't you talk to God and ask Him to help you? Dear God, we thank you for sending your one and only Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord, to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for raising him from the dead. We thank you that he is ascended to heaven and now seated at your right hand, interceding for us day and night. O Lord, we thank you for praying to the Father to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, into this world, into our lives, into people's lives who are willing to accept and believe in you. O Lord, you have heard our short prayers just now, even though it's just a short while. There may not be enough time. And yet, you know already, even before we told you. So as we pour out our hearts to you, O Lord, may you give us your mercy, your love, your kindness, your peace, your rest, your joy, your grace, so that we can truly live out the kind of life that you intended for us. Life abundant. Life being filled with streams of living water. Have mercy on each of us, Lord, and on our church, so that the Holy Spirit can continue his work, his ministry, through us individually and corporately. We praise you, God, for your love, for your wonderful, wonderful wisdom to give us the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing that song, okay?